Welcome to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating and the great outdoors. For Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive sea covers, with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. Here's your hosts, Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Habgood.
Good morning and welcome to Real Adventures for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. Patrick Dangerfield and Aaron Habgood here this morning to talk all things fishing, boating and the great outdoors and a little bit of retail in the lead up to Christmas, Redmond. How are you?
I'm very good, actually. Mate, what a week of weather.
Oh, unbelievable.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Next week doesn't look as good as what we've had.
We caught up for lunch on Tuesday. Hard, very obviously tough lives that you and I lead.
Dropped you off 40 nice whiting fillets, actually.
You did, and your son caught half of them. He took the young fella out.
He caught a lot of squid. We got 20 squid.
He was good, and he wasn't as good with the whiting.
Well, for those that are listening out there, you're only allowed to take what you catch. So what I mean by that is,
the only reason Aaron took out Finn, his son, it wasn't to be the father of the year.
No.
Because I spoke to you when you were in the car on the way, like boat attached on the way to the ramp. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. I need to take George out. And your response was, yeah, it's great. Extra 20 whiting fillets.
Well, no, he was good on the squid. We got his 10, so I got 20. Yeah, but he was still useless on the whiting.
But he was a body for the whiting.
No, you can't do it.
Really?
So you actually, this was going to say, is the tip. You actually got to catch it yourself. And with me, little can't be too dodgy because if someone's watching and dobs me in. So I only kept 20 whitings. So I caught all those and he wound a few in to help me. So I probably could have caught 26 maybe because he did do six, I reckon, himself. He gets a little bit impatient. But the squid, he was very good on the squid. He was very, very good. He just holds his
jaw. He was lifting him up as well.
He's a nutbag. Yeah, he's a nutbag. He was very good on the squid. He was 10 out of 10 on the squid. But I try and stick by the rules as much as I can. Might have stretched a bit on the squid, but I definitely didn't on the whiting. Kept my 20 and, well, you know, kept your 20 and gave you a beautiful 40 fillets, yeah, all debone. You just got to take the little pin bones out. That's all you have to do. Beautiful. I got all the main bones out for you.
I was actually looking through some old photos the other day of when I really started to discover the passion for fishing, and I was about 7, and there's a photo of me at 1770 in Queensland taking the little Vino, not Vinos, it was a duck punt, so it was a flat nose front, taking it out as a 7-year-old with a 1960.
7-year-old.
Yes.
How old's George?
6. This is where I'm going with it. You're onto it. As a 7-year-old with a 3-horsepower Johnson that was 1960 something, and I was 7, and I literally had taken it out in the channel. Mum and Dad couldn't see me, I was that far out.
Dad is a bit ruthless with outdoors.
Yeah,
he'd let you pick up tiger snakes.
I'm like, geez, I'm not sure I'm letting George do that. Like, and there I am in a boat, like, out in the middle of the, you know, in the channel. Like, what's the, listening, have a bit of a think. What's the, and send it into our Real Adventures socials, that Real Adventures show. What's the dumbest.
You can say dumbest.
Most inclusive fatherly parenting thing you've done when it comes to fishing. Have you got anything that your old man let you do? And you
reversing the car up. I used to do that a lot as a kid.
How old?
Oh, young.
Really?
Yeah, I was young. But Dad, so it started off with on Dad's knee. And I do this with Finn already now. So Finn's on my knee and I say, which side of the boat's in the mirror? So he sees it. Which way do you turn? He goes, right, left, I think he guesses half the time.
That's the only way he knows his rights and lefts is from reversing the trailer.
He actually does. You know, we're at right, left, and then, but like, as soon as he's got coordination and can reach the pedal, so he's a few years away, but I'll happily sit there with him and on the front of the seat and sort of have my foot there with him. Dad did it with me when I was a kid.
You own a Ram, mate. He's gonna have to be 10 before he can reach the pedals. You can't reach them.
We'll have to use Mrs. Car. She needs a new one by the sounds of it. But no, I don't think that's ruthless. That's why I can back a trailer so good with so much confidence, is probably because I got taught from a young age. And it's the only way you learn is by doing it.
100%.
So I don't know. I don't think we used to take the kayaks out all the time, the canoes and that when we were real young. But I don't think that's ruthless. That's pretty ruthless. 7 taking a boat out by yourself.
I don't know.
Your dad seriously
loves that.
He has a go with outdoors. Yeah. Anything, pick up that tiger snake, it won't hurt you.
No.
That's your dad.
I actually took And we've got a great chat. You had a great chat with Andrew Stevens from Melbourne Marine Centre earlier in the week. Yep. And I dropped my 4 meter, 3.9 meter, 3.99.
When you asked me to talk about it, I'm like, it's going to happen. It's already on your boat.
Yeah.
I didn't... So I was talking to Andrew about it, the Coes and Prons, of which it comes up in a minute or two.
The Coes and Prons.
Yeah, well, the two-stroke, you just spent money.
The new 30 has replaced the old 30 Yamaha.
Yep.
Good motor.
Terrific motor,
Needed an upgrade. John Boy's shoulder is not great for the pull starting, but... The reason I link it back to John Boy being very adventurous when it comes to, you know, going out is Andrew's like, you don't take this out in the ocean, do you? It's a flat bottom V-nose punt. And Dad's like, oh, yeah, yeah. You know,
does it have a bilge?
Less than 3 foot. It's got a bilge. But there's not much freeboard.
I know, I've seen it.
But great flight. Like, I reckon boats are a lot more capable of doing a bit more. Just, this is probably not good messaging for radio.
Until waves come.
Then what they're advertised for. Can you take a V-nose punt?
It's not like V-nose punt through swell heading off beach at Moggs Creek beach launching.
Yes, you can. You can do it.
I know you can do it because your dad does it. But I don't think your dad has brain sometimes when it comes to doing things. Hence letting you drive a boat when you were 7 out by yourself. Hey. 7 years old.
Hey, bit of movement in the 4x4 space during the week.
Where are we going?
Over the last couple of weeks. Well, we've seen the release of the Cybertruck Cyberbeast, Elon Musk, owner of X, formerly Twitter, and of course SpaceX, and as we know it, Tesla. So their new Cybertruck has been released to the general public, the general consumer, and there was a viral video that went online because they were talking about 0 to 100 in 2.6 seconds, and there's an amazing video of this Tesla Cybertruck racing a Porsche 911 and beating this Porsche 911. But how they captured the video,
I was going to say over 12 kilometers because I ran out of power.
No, how they captured the video is over whatever the length was, but it was actually towing a Porsche 911 as well. So not only was it faster, it was towing a Porsche 911 and it was still faster. The specs on it look quite incredible, to be frank, when you talk about payload, range. Tesla's claiming it can do 400 kilometers. We'll wait and see in real world driving scenarios. Just under 5 ton in terms of what its towing ability is. Now, is this of any relevance for us? Are we ever going to see it in the Australian market? I don't know. I think what we are going to see, I've got confidence in it with no foresight whatsoever. I think we're going to see the Ford Lightning, which is like the F-150 equivalent. When you match the specs of the Cybertruck, they appear to be perceivably better, but are we ever going to see it? There's a few question marks around build quality, which is not something that we haven't heard with Tesla before, but interesting to see. A few other little things I want to run past you, Redmond. Isuzu Australia celebrating their 15th anniversary. Bloody good truck for Australia. It's been incredibly popular.
Turn the key, starts, don't die.
Yep, absolutely. Like, brilliant engine, obviously.
Craigo's got one. That's all God, Craig.
Likes it?
He loves his car. Yeah. Very good to him.
The other one. So, Ineos Grenadier, which...
we've been talking about for 9 years.
We've been speaking about this for a long time, this car. Now, if you don't know what it is, picture a Land Rover Defender, Ineos, Jim Radcliffe, billionaire from England, basically loved the Defender body, so built a car around it. Their price... before on roads has gone up 15 grand for next year. So if you're buying...
copping it in the social...
and as they too. Mate, as they should, if you're buying one of these in Australia for a startup 4x4, it's well over 120. Who's buying that for 120 grand? Mm. You're getting a Land Cruiser because it's not far off the price, but you know of the reliability. You're getting a Ranger. You're getting Everest.
I'm not buying a 79 series. I'll buy
you're
that
getting
over
an Isuzu.
I'm buying that over it.
Like over no, I'm in love with the 79. Nah, four-cylinder 79 series. I've been watching all these reviews. very, very good.
Yeah, no worries. Go sit in it.
Apart from the apart from the wind-up windows. Hey, talk to me about school tuna in Victoria and a few sightings. Is anyone lit off?
I've done my share for everyone. I've gone and looked for 3 days and haven't found a thing, so I'm broke. So I've got no money for
fuel. You're $600 down.
So if anyone wants to go do some Ks and actually help me out a bit, that'd be terrific because I've been doing the work for you, I tell you. So, Jesus, I've done some Ks. I haven't found any yet.
No, okay.
But I know one gentleman that did catch some off Bowen Heads. Right. On a one patch come up.
Yep.
And he got them.
Is it just luck?
Not. I reckon it's going to turn any day.
Okay.
I reckon they're going to rock up on this next moon, which is only a week away.
Yep.
So be ready. So okay. What I want to go through just for the next couple of minutes is what you sort of need for these school tuna that are going to turn up anywhere you're fishing for tuna around the country, but obviously where I'm talking at the moment, but it will work right around the whole country.
So how you're going to increase your chances?
Yep. So
are you packing something every time you go off? Sorry to interrupt. Every time you go offshore, because you obviously chase the gummies, like there's so much more than just what's, you know, people talk about snapper, that's the only thing you're going to fish for, but like you go offshore for gummies at the moment, you're nailing them every time you go. But what's the chances if you hit a tuna patch? Like what's in your boat just in case?
So I always go with the plan of targeting a species, and we've spoken about it a lot.
That's
so
why I
try and target one species. But if I'm doing the gummies, I'll commit to the gummies first and then do the tuna after.
But you got there. But you got to drive to the gummy. So are you like...
Even if I see
it's like, oh, hang on.
It depends what I'm doing though. If it's work or if it's social and what tides are doing. If I want gummies and need to do gummies, I'll ignore the tuna.
Yep.
And a lot of people will struggle with that, but I've got a purpose where if you're driving out and you go to the gummies,
so
have
salt
stuff
guide.
Ready.
Yep. So Salt Guide, your business, which is an online tutorial business, saltguide.com.au for more info. But basically, you're giving real time updates on when it's fishing well.
So like, we predict the week of how we're going to approach it with all the tides and how we're going to start looking for fish and where we start looking.
Do you have members asking for you, can you target this? Like, when's this happening? Like, is that part of it?
Yeah. It's all in the video section though. So we've covered all that. So that's if you...
Yeah, but are they messaging you saying, Aaron, what's the go? When are they coming?
Yeah, I get hundreds of emails and messages a week regarding that stuff. And I'm getting them at the moment because the news has got out, there's a few tuna around.
Yeah.
So if you're heading out for them, have everything ready. So if they're on flipped birds and they're flicking the surface and the teaser bar's not working, have a little bungee ready or have a soft plastic 7-inch.
So is it an atomic bungee? What's the...
Bass Day bungee.
Yep.
So they're a 100 mil little lure. Stick bait. Yeah, little.
Not cheap. No, about $30.
They're not cheap, but they upgrade the trebles on them to a single.
We always talk about
Well, those trebles don't hold on those bigger fish at all. They just get one fish, and then once you pull it out, they're bent.
Yeah.
It's not made, I guess, for these fish. But when these fish are concentrated on these smaller baits, you just upgrade the hooks. It takes 2 seconds.
And it's one of those lures that just constantly hits home. Like we'll start recommending a different lure the moment one is as
good.
Reliable. Seriously,
everyone uses it because it's good. It's small profile. The thing is, it's heavy too. So you can cast it
a mile.
Just cast it a mile. So if that's cool, you can stay off it, start away from it, get a little bit of wind. You're casting miles, you're not spooking the fish.
Yeah.
Another thing that I guarantee you need is teaser bars.
Yep.
You catch so many fish on teaser bars.
Colours of the teaser bar. So explain to us what a teaser bar actually is, because this is an important point.
So basically, it's if you explain it and put a picture in front of you, is... It's in the middle. There's like a little plastic bird type scenario that splashes sideways, and it's got like a I think of a deep diving lure.
Yep.
And it's got that bib on it, but either side of that bird's head, and you have it facing the opposite way to a deep diver, so it pushes against the water.
You want to keep it up
and
above
the water.
Diver.
Yep. Yeah, keeps it up. If you turn it the other way, it actually pulls it under the water. It's no good. And then coming off
a bar... Have tried it that way, and you're right, it is no good.
Try winding it in at 10 kilometres an hour, it's hard. But
I give that to Dad.
You got the... you prick. You got this bar, a stainless bar that runs across.
Yes.
And then you can have 3 to 5 legs. I just run 3-leg teaser bars.
Can be a little squid,
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, 3 legs. And in the middle of it, there's a swivel attached. It's slightly longer. The middle one's slightly longer, and there's a little swivel attached. And you actually clip your lure to it, and you fish with it. So the fish come up to look at that. And they go, oh, crap, what's out of the back? There's a little white skirt there, a little 4-inch reef thief skirt. Bang.
Yeah, little
nails it.
Little bait that's fallen out the back. Yep. I'll eat that. That one's...
And they just catch so much more fish when they're being pricks.
Yeah.
When they're easy to catch, everyone's catching them. But when the teaser bars do catch a lot of fish. So I'd run those, even a single daisy chain. So one of those, just a single squid teaser. Just yep. a, probably
and you can
squid.
Literally, like, whether it's BCF, Anaconda, your local tackle store, if you say teaser bar or daisy chain, they will know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, Melbourne Marine Centre's got a great range of them.
Yep.
We talked to Andrew shortly about his range of tackle store, tackle upstairs of his shop, and he's got a great range up there too. So if you're in that Dandenong area, make sure you call into there. But basically, teaser bars, you want small skirted lures, you want deep diver if you want to run them. I get frustrated with them because you can't move a bit quicker with them and they do jump out and blah, blah, blah. I do run them here and there, but I do get frustrated. You want a big popper. The West Coast poppers were terrific for me last year. I caught a lot of fish on West Coast poppers. They were really, really good. And they're a big
like
popper.
Fully oversized, which is
stupid. 160.
Which is funny because it's not matching the hatch.
No, but what it creates.
Whatsoever.
Reaction bite. Yeah. So you got this big bang, bang through this school, and if they're being pricked, one just goes bang, it's on. Yep. It's just a reaction bite. It has to be because you can't get them any other way, and then all of a sudden this popper goes through and you keep getting fish on it every handful of casts. So it was so good last year. We trawled through them, chased bungees, plastics, couldn't get them, and we changed these big those big poppers, and it was literally like nearly a fish a cast for multiple weeks on end. So it was really good. So what I'd go out with, just to before we wrap the segment up, is I'd go out with three or four trolling rods, and if you can, have two casting rods. And on those casting rods, I'd have a plastic on one and a bungee on the other. And then all you have to do is just cut the leader and tie something else on, whether it's a popper or if you want to put another bungee on or another plastic. But that's pretty much the starting point that I'd have heading out for a tuner, and that's all I've been going out with during the week when I was looking, doing the Ks for no smiles. I did some Ks, Patrick. I've done some fuel. But anyway, it's what you got to do is my job, and please go out there and help me. That's all I've got.
Stick around. We've got a massive show of real adventures coming your way. Andrew Stephen joins us a little later in the show to talk through your boat as we head into summer, the do's and don'ts, and what's important when it comes to maintenance. So the next time you head to the ramp, Aaron, and that may be in the Christmas holidays, you want to make sure everything starts and everything is running the way that it should be. The other thing we're going to do on the other side of the break is just discuss. Aaron just spoke about the rods. We're going to discuss quickly before the whip round the rods that are important when it comes to having in the boat, so it gives you the best chance of hooking up to these tuna that drives everyone nuts once they get up and rolling. You're listening to Real Adventures for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other.
You're listening to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
Welcome back to Real Adventures for Club Marine. Now, Redmond, on
Real Adventures, those are not bad. Your name.
Well, I was getting excited because we were speaking off the top of the show.
You are excited for these tuna.
Yeah, absolutely. The tuna are close to. You're looking for people, more sets of eyes on the water. But the rods and reels that you have in the boat ready to go to target these school fish, obviously different to the rods and reels that you're using when the big barrels come through. But what's the stores? What's the main guy that you've got in the boat that's just there so when they come up, it gives you the best chance?
So there's a few different rods that you can use. Price range is obviously the biggest thing. Now, I'm running Ospreys, 20 to 40 pound, and they're my trawling rods. So
the how long are they?
So I run, I'm a little bit fortunate enough to have a range of rods. So with the teaser bars.
Yeah, this is what you do. So that makes sense. What are you using?
With the teaser bars, I run 7 foot rods because they're taller.
Yep.
And then with the non-teaser bar rods, I run them 6 foot. Like so they're a foot shorter.
That sits in like the back corner or something?
Yeah, so they sit in the corners and one up the rod hold. And the reason for that is because I just want nothing to tangle, and you give an extra bit of height from the rod up in the rod holders or in the bait board.
Oh, the rocket launcher.
Yeah, up in the rocket launchers, I'll run one. That's usually the first teaser bar. Then when I'll have one out of the bait board, then two out of the back corners or out of the rigger arms, out of the two. And I run two of the long ones on the teaser bars to keep them up and away, and two smaller ones. Or if I'm running a teaser bar in a different position, I might swap that rod over. So I'm getting a little bit funny there, but they're about that $350 to $400 mark.
Yep.
You can run anything to that 20 to 40 pound range. The Atomic Arrows got a really good trolling, like they're just your offshore rods, but they're 20 to 40 pound. They're affordable, maybe $200 if that. I don't think they'd be $200.
Great all rounder, aren't they?
Yeah, and you can use them for all your gummies and even your snapper too. So they're an affordable rod, but they're great rods to use for your trolling. And now into the casting, Samurai elevates. You can go, it depends what you want to use. You can go up into that 20 to 40 pound range to cast, which is no worries, but you can back it off to that 15 to 25 pound range, which is your snapper rods. And I've caught most probably my tuna on that sort of range of rods. And the Samurai, I gave you some of these the other day. These elevates, they're a beautiful cast. I think I gave you a lighter one and a heavier one.
You did.
Yep. 20 to 40 and then it's 15 to 25. So you'll put a 5,000 stratic on that lighter one and you'll put an 8,000 roughly, or even up to a 10,000 on that 20 to 40 pound. Braid, roughly that 50 pound and on that on the heavy reel, and then on that lighter reel, 20 or 30 pound.
So if you're running 50 braid,
yep.
What are you running, at least 80 on the mono, on the
yeah, so I'm pretty much, no. So, no. On my trolling rods, I'm running all 100.
Gotcha.
All 100. Yep. But then on the casting, I'm only running 40.
So you, hang on. So you've got, oh no, but you've got a lower.
On those, yep, that yeah, 8,000.
Your braid's 20 pound, did you say?
30 pound, yeah. 30 pound. 30 yeah. pound on the casting.
Because you're always going above for your
well,
mono.
Well, on the, yeah, you can even match it, like the braid's so thin, so your mono's always going to be thicker anyway, yep. So you're fine with it. But yeah. With the casting, the problem is the thicker you go with casting with braid, the less distance and the bit you're going to yeah. get. So
do you find that with, depending on the braid that you're using, like if it's too, this might sound funny, but the really waxy braid,
yep.
It just doesn't run through the eyes as well. You just don't get the casting distance.
I haven't noticed that. It's probably the size of it, is it?
No, you know what? It's probably me being El Cheapo and you using the slightly better quality braid.
You run Finn's braid. Finn's braid's a very good braid.
No, the Finn's is fine.
I run the Dangan braid. That's really good quality stuff.
I use something from, you know, the problem is, I use one of Dad's reels. Yeah. And honestly,
he's got stuff from that Kmart, which is 20 pound, thick as 150 pound.
I think it was from eBay or China or somewhere. Wherever it was made, it was terrible. And honestly, it was like a cheese grater coming out of it. You could feel it, genuinely feel it. Like it
doesn't come off the reel good.
It doesn't, no, because it sticks to itself. Like, I know it's expensive, but it is worth spending good money on good braid.
On good fish it is, yeah, 100%. Yeah. Whiting and stuff you can get away with a little bit, but on these tuna, they pull hard. And if you're running, like, you don't want, if you've got a tease bar out and a lure and then a swivel, if you lose that because of a braid.
Oh,
what's your teaser bar? Probably 100 to 250 bucks these days, range there. And then you've got a lure at the back, which is probably 40 bucks, plus your time rigging. You're looking at $300, and then plus your braid that you lose as well on a fish. So you're looking at $200 to $300 each time, which is not, it's bloody expensive to lose for a fish. But we're going to talk more about tuna over the next few weeks as we start
as
catching
it
them.
To
so
pump up,
let's get into the whip around.
Yeah, speaking of pulling power on fish that are biting, it is time for the whip around for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. And we kick things off, Redmond.
Yeah, Rainbow Escape Charter, Central Queensland. Smash a Red Emperor.
And these Red Emperor, like, we're talking massive fish.
The cobia there. Absolutely everything they've smashed there. And we're just looking at a sneaky photo there. So they've done very, very well. That's Rainbow Escape Fishing Charters. And then moving off Gladstone, out on the Fitzroy Reef, basically fish one after the other. And they were good coral trout, Red Emperor as well.
The fish there that you couldn't catch whilst in the West.
46,000 casts and didn't manage to land a single cast. Speaking of the West, we're heading over to Western Australia now.
And Jazz Charters.
Snapper and the odd kingfish. He's been absolutely smacking the snapper and kingfish, which is sensational to see as he does, but that's out of Frio.
I know you're a biased Victorian angler, but when it comes to snapper fishing, like we continue to see incredible reports out of the West.
There's better. They're smashing up. They get it all year round.
Yeah.
Like, I've Jazz Charters, how long have we been reporting his consistent snapper captures?
Yeah. And they're not
November.
Small fish. Like every single week.
There's some from a kilo right up to 10, 8, 9, 10. Like,
so Victoria's seasonal, South Australia completely botched and mismanaged. We're hoping.
Well, Victor is allowed to catch fish now. There was fish caught there during the week, and they're allowed a certain amount of pair of people because the ban lifted there in certain parts of South Australia now. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure it was Victor. They had some beautiful snapper caught through there. Good fish too, like 5 kilo stuff.
Well, this was the epicenter.
It was.
Sorry, I interrupted you continuing through the West.
Now, I'm going to refer to keep saying check out these, and I'm sorry that you can't see the photos while you're driving your car potentially listening to us talk rubbish, but Mandura, the size of those mulloway there, Patrick, absolute crackers off the beach. It's fishing very, very good. Yakkers
90 plus.
Off the beach, mullet,
Mandura,
they're
nice
big,
work.
Big fish, so that is fishing very good. And heading over to Ned McHenry, he thinks he's the mayor of South Australia now, doesn't he, the way he's going?
He's very, very happy with himself at the moment, Ned. And when it comes to radio, Well, when it comes to footy, rival teams, you know, Crows, Geelong, we are a rival fishing show to Ned's little puddle.
We're
five double. That's my old stomping ground. 5 double
A. Is it? Do you have a couple of appearances on that?
No, every Saturday. Every midweek, I was always on 5 double A and heading to the footy.
We love didn't the competition
have,
with Neddy.
Didn't have the knackers like Neddy does to go, you know what? I want to run myself a fishing show. He's pushed poor old Stephen Rowe to the side.
He's done very well.
You spoke about the salmon. Well, whilst trawling during the week, Little Boston in Port Lincoln, 67 centimetres, 2.7 kilos. That's as big as they come. They don't get much bigger than that.
Good salmon.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, very good. And lots of them. Fish. Lots of them as well, which is really good to see. But speaking of big fish,
this is
glance your eyes over this little thing here.
So a giant kingfish.
Caught from the rocks at Point Bonython. Is that how you would pronounce it?
Let's go with that.
Sounds good.
If you've got a problem with the way that Aaron pronounces most things, which most people do.
Get over
it. It's a bit of feedback that comes that way.
Best 30-minute fight ever. This is a monster kingfish. It would well over the 20-kilo mark, potentially 30 kilo. That is
it's as big ginormous. As that. Yeah, that's massive. And they're one of the, for mine, pound for pound, they're the hardest pulling fish in the sea.
Now, off Queen's Cliff out of Tasmania, check out the old...
across the Apple Isle.
Check out the old Salmon.
They continue to fire.
Off the rocks,
which we like hearing off the rocks. Like, it's nice to have that decent balance between. Obviously, it's great if you can afford a boat and you can get offshore or you can fish through lakes and rivers. Terrific.
Well, they're two reports. 30-kilo kingfish off the rocks. I haven't seen one off the boat caught in South Australia in the last few days.
With you there.
And then you've got the great salmon fishing, which every single person loves casting down. I think Bommel was getting a few salmon down in Tassie during the week as well.
He was. But if you do have a boat... Toombs Lake fishing well this weekend, and brown trout tipping the scales at over 4.5 pound. It was a really nice looking fish. And the other one was getting kids into fishing. We love when the kids get into
fishing. Well, this is in the old New South Wales now, Patrick. We're moving up the coast because that was the one that I left. I usually do that first, but I accidentally did it the wrong way around today. So I apologise.
You know, I held it off.
There you go, Trevally.
It's a beautiful Trevally being caught.
So Marimbula, all off Marimbula.
Yep.
Trevally being caught at the entrance there. It's been sensational fishing through there.
What about the, you know, you've spoken often about the water currents as they push down.
The current is as bad as it gets. Don't even want to talk about it. Yep. I'm sorry. It's just hit a soft spot.
Yeah.
It's looking like last year.
Yep.
Shocking. The Trapman can't even keep his pots down.
Yeah,
like
right.
The boys are going under the fads.
Oh, so
it's bent as Snoop Dogg, like it's literally it's literally on its side. But fishing up a little bit higher though, in off Botany Bay, Flathead, Brim, Trevally, all caught all through Botany Bay, and sensational fishing through there. Just fishing in the tinnies out of there, casting plastics, using a bit of bait, 10-pound line, just sensational fishing all through there. So I think we have to talk probably about our neck of the woods, don't we? A bit of Victorian stuff.
Yeah, so let's kick things off from the south first. We've spoken a lot about tuna and the slow builder. If you want to catch a tuna right now, the most consistent place to capture them.
Got nothing for you.
Portland?
Got nothing for you. Or haven't heard of a report of consistent tuna for probably, this is probably the only month
where you haven't,
heard of. But I did hear a rumor of Polo Bay, there was some fish out there. And I heard there was some big schools there, which is moving our way. I haven't heard of anything at Portland. Bottom fishing's 10 out of 10.
Yep.
But Port Ferry, haven't seen the reports of... Scotty Gray's usually into those tuna and kings now. Haven't seen any reports. So whether he's keeping it under the download...
I was about to say, now you can...
Well, these tuna at Portland, right, and Port Ferry, aren't the ones that are out wider in during the winter months. They're riding close off North Shore and the island.
But they're not being caught. Accessible. Or they are.
And they could be.
And the locals are keeping it
I haven't
quiet.
Heard a single thing. So
that's not like locals down in neck of the woods to keep things quiet.
No, well, we say it's a 12-month fishery, and I still believe it is now, the way it is. We might get the odd month where it's a bit harder, and you've got to do what I've done and burnt $600 of fuel in a couple of days. But they would somewhere you'd be able to find them. But if you were to ask me somewhere to go, I don't have that exact report for you right now.
Yeah,
it's
gotcha.
Just a little bit hard to... Not hard, it's just I haven't found any, haven't heard of any. But if you put a bit of timing into a place like Apollo Bay or Portland or Port Ferry... Even at home, even Western Entrance down to the west of Port Phillip, Western Port, sorry, it's a very good chance you'll come across these fish.
I caught up with a mate during the week who's got a farm down near Parambit.
Oh, yeah.
He said there's been a bit of an algae outbreak there's been three cars that have been lost once launching.
Three what have been lost?
Three cars that have been sort of, they've tried to either reverse.
Oh, so they slid on the ramp.
Yes,
oh,
and
Jesus.
They've lost them into the water. Now, whether that affects the fishing or not, sometimes it definitely can when there's algae outbreaks, and we've seen nothing official.
There was some good trout caught in Parambit, I did see.
Well, there's been nice. Yeah, there's been nothing official in terms of how it's affected the fishery, but for those that people are launching at Parambit, just be
mindful
when launching.
Not just there. I nearly went arse up at St. Leonard's the other day.
Did you really?
Sorry, Queenscliff. I was with Finn and had to launch by myself in that low tide.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wear me Crocs. It wouldn't happen in me Crocs. I left them in my cane suitcase after Exmouth and I still haven't picked them back up.
The fisherman? The part-time builder. Yeah, fine. Yep. Good job.
And, yeah, I think just that low tide, the algae gets on all these ramps, and especially if you're, I don't mean to be a prick, but if you're a bit older, be very, very careful. But the fishing off Western Port, just quickly before you wrap up this segment, I just want to go into Western Port quickly.
We are rambling.
Wayne has smashed whiting on both sides of Western Port. Snapper, very good.
He posted gummies, some incredible photos of so did you, mind you, but some really nice snapper during the week.
He did. He's done very, very well on the whiting and snapper out there, and flathead offshore, then coming into Port Phillip, I smashed the snapper during the week. They were as good as it gets. Middle of the day stuff too. Like, they were just sensational.
Are you still targeting the tides around that though? You say middle of the day, you're targeting.
No, I actually wasn't. Tide was at 2 o'clock the day I went, and I got over there at 3. I missed
it
completely.
Was it just luck?
I do like the hour after. Just this time of the year, you're in peak snapper fishing, so it's at its best. So it's the time of the year where you don't have to be as fussy.
Pedantic about it. Yep.
Earlier and later you can be, but I'd still try and do things right. But yeah, I just caught a few fish there, which was a few fish during the tide, which is always good to see. And of course, the whiting and calamari, which we got as well.
Beautiful work. That is the whip around for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
You're listening to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors. For Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive sea covers, with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
Welcome back to Real Adventures. It's now time for All Aboard for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers, with protection like no other. And on the phone is our handy-dandy marine shop owner from Melbourne Marine Centre, Andrew, the one-stop boating shop. You can get all your tackle, all your boating pieces. You can even get your boat serviced or buy a boat. Morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you, mate?
Very good, mate. Thanks for joining us this morning. I've got a couple of questions for you this morning. You up for it?
Well, let's go. We'll see how we go.
All right. Now, while I haven't got Pat, I've snuck the studio today to do a guest with yourself while he's out, just quickly. And I've been told he's buying a new Merc. Is that the truth?
You've been told correct, mate. Yeah, it's actually, it's already been fitted to his boat. That's how quick that's happened.
Oh, right. John Boy even got it down there. Jeez. Because he didn't drive it down there. There was no chance he drove it.
No, mate. It's a bit far for Pat to drive. But John Boy dropped it off on Saturday and boys fitted it up yesterday. So it's up and running.
Okay, well, there you go. It's moved a bit faster than I thought, but the questions are coming back to that Merc 30 horsepower. Now, I know your job is to sell boats. That's your job, but you're very honest and you don't talk a lot of crap and you just work with the customers and whatnot. And that's a really good thing with you guys at Melbourne Marine. But I need to know, there's people out there with small boats that are like small tinnies that Pat's that you've just fitted out with this 30 horsepower. People often just happy with their two-stroke, and Pat was like that with his Yammy. I actually sort of talked him into it, then for his dad not having the pull start. So there's a few things that Pat and I have discussed in previous shows regarding a few positives, but I want you to get into the scientific terms of basically what's the advantages that he's going to have of having that 30 Merc being brand new to what he had on the boat, which I think was a two-stroke Yammy, which in itself, Saltwater Series, they are a bloody good engine. They've run for years, as we all know, and they're a terrific engine. But what's he going to benefit from upgrading to something like this now?
Yeah, well, that's right, Anne. The 30 that he had on there was the three-cylinder model, which, you know, for years has been a fantastic product back in the day. But obviously, as things evolve, technology gets better, and four-strokes has certainly leapfrogged the two-stroke technology. So I guess the major benefits that most people would see, excuse me, going in from a two-stroke to a four-stroke, obviously you've got the fuel saving, which is a no-brainer. You've also got no fumes. You don't have to worry about mixing your petrol. So no more ratio or trying to work that out. No smoke. Easy to start as well, because the engine that Pat in particular has purchased is the 30 horsepower with electric start power tilt. So, you know, you just push the button and away it goes. No more trying to yank on that pull cord to get it to kick over and run. No choke, no swearing at it at the boat ramp and things like that.
Well, that was a big one for his dad. I know that, because as his dad gets a little bit older, poor old John Boy's not got the pull strength like old Patrick at the moment. So that was a big one for Pat as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's important for a lot of people, you know, having that ease of use when you get down to the water and you can just, you know, drop it in and go. But having the ability to adjust the engine, you know, tilting the engine up and down whilst underway. But, you know, I know they beach launched that thing down there as well at Mogg's. So, you know, being able to get the motor down quickly and easily is going to be great for John Boy too.
Now, going to the scientific side of it, horsepower, revs, top speed, is it going to get more? What's it going to do compared to sort of an older two-stroke model?
Well, look, hard to say in terms of top speed and stuff like that. We haven't stuck it onto the water just yet to run it, so that'll be later in the week. But, you know, I think horsepower for horsepower these days, they all seem to rate them now at the prop shaft. And, you know, four-stroke technology, it's fuel-injected, so you would think it's going to perform a lot better out of the hole. It's going to be instant, you know, power as you turn that throttle, because these 30s run that new batteryless fuel-injected system. So, you know, very responsive on throttle. And, you know, the argument that a lot of people have on the smaller boats is the weight of the four-stroke compared to, obviously, the weight difference in the two-stroke. And there's only, you know, several kilos difference in weight now between these two-strokes and four-strokes. So I think that argument has probably been laid to bed a little bit.
Not that they used a lot of fuel, but how much fuel would you say it would save, say, out of 100 litres? Would it be a big difference, or would it just be a little bit of a difference?
Look, if you take the average across the bulk of a two-stroke, you know, four-stroke comparison, most people are saving anywhere between 35 and 50% on fuel. It depends on, it depends on the boat. It depends on how it's being used and those sorts of, you know, factors. Because if you're revving the ring out of anything, it's going to suck fuel through. But, you know, if you're just, you know, cruising around at a reasonable RPM, you'll see that greater fuel saving.
Now, I haven't been... I'm just trying to think. I don't think I've been on a boat with a 30 Merc, to be honest with you. I'm tipping you can barely even hear that it's on, and that'll be a massive difference to that two-stroke running out the back.
Absolutely, mate. They're certainly very smooth and very quiet motor. They're a beautiful little thing. So we've run Bomber's engine actually a couple of times now. He's got we had a 30. He's just upgraded to a 40 recently because he needed some more power on his boat with all the fishing gear he carries.
Yep.
But his little 30 went really well on that 4.2 Horizon that he had, so it was a nice little engine.
Now we'll get away from engines and we'll get into a little bit of fishing talk. We did a charter the other day, and I have to say you did catch the first whiting, so we'll give you that. And you're in a shocking spot of the boat too, and you did very well there. But Mel Marine, like I said at the start, is your one-stop boating shop. You've got, and a lot of people, we're trying to get this, I guess, out there, but it's a bit quiet at the moment, as in the numbers not going through the doors, as in this shop, the numbers should be like busier than any BCF in the world. The deals you've got there, this is a new shop at Melbourne Marine Centre upstairs. It is starting to get bigger and better there, but the product that you have there is just 10 out of 10. You have everything there upstairs. For those that aren't familiar with this, I've been up there and done some videos there. This is a new shop. It is sensational. It is seriously that good. And just to name off some of the brands, and I know you're not a fishing guru, but you do know what's upstairs. Name some of the brands that you do have upstairs for the punters out there that do want to go into a clean new shop and be able to find everything that they like.
Yeah, look, I can rattle the main ones off. There's no issues there. But obviously, you've got the likes of Shimano. We've got Penn. We've got Rapala. Akuma, Z-Man Soft Plastics, all the major stuff. So all the big chain stores, that the product that they sell and that they have, we've got it here as well. And we also have some independent niche product as well that you won't see in those big chain stores because they just don't worry too much about it. But look, the foot traffic side of things is always improving. There's no doubt about that.
100%.
I think, like what you say, Aaron, you know, when you've got something new, you're trying to promote it in the most amount of areas as possible to make people aware. But it's good when people come in and they say, oh, I've not been here before. Yep. I didn't know you had all this. So, you know, getting that feedback from customers as they come through the door, and obviously they're impressed when they walk in, which is a great feeling for us.
That's exactly what I'll say. Like you get the people through the door, and then the amount of people that I speak to that I say, oh, I get my boat at Melbourne Marine, and they go, for instance, to get their boat there, and they're like, we walked upstairs. You should have seen the tackles upstairs. Well, we didn't even know that was there. Like it is, like the range that's up there is fantastic. You've got multiple bait freezers. You've got caters for everyone there. But then, of course, you've also got the trailer. You've got trailer accessories, you've got boating accessories, you've got safety gear, you've got everything you need. So when I do stay one shop, boating stop, it sure is that. And just quickly before we let you go, the range of boats that you have on for sale at the moment?
So we've got Stacer aluminium boats, North Bank fiberglass boats. Obviously we're Mercury outboard dealer, but we also have a range of ski boats from Skicraft and XFI.
Yeah, well, don't know what that means, but they sound cool.
Not that interesting.
Go check out the North Banks there. I know a little bit about those. So go check them out at Melbourne Marine. Like I said before, please, if you are in the Dandenong area, even passing by, heading towards that Karen boat ramp, wherever you're going, it is well worth you not grabbing servo bait, heading to Andrew and getting your hooks and whatnot there. Get the traffic going there, because I promise you, it is a very, very neat, clean shop, and everything is there. Thanks very much, Andrew, for joining us on Real Adventures this morning, mate. And I'm sure I'm going to see you soon, hopefully not with any estuary perch in your hand, because I know you've been doing that, and a real fish.
Good on you, and thanks, mate.
Chat soon.
Cheers.
That was All Aboard for Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other.
Red's Review for Club Marine. Boating's just better with Club Marine Boat Insurance.
It's now time for Red's Review for Club Marine. Boating's just better with Club Marine Boat Insurance. And off the back of our discussion around these tuna starting to hit the waterways and giving yourself the best chance, one of the things that you mentioned earlier in the show was when you were talking about the setup of your rods, the size, style. You mentioned rigger arms.
I think they're the most overpriced item in fishing, and everything's overpriced in fishing. But
and
I think,
and you're about to recommend
here.
Them.
Look at this. You need. So we've got a hook and fishing here, $245. Relax, multi mount fishing, $279. I'm hoping that's for two, not one.
No, I remember I bought them last.
I reckon
year.
That's one.
Yeah, I bought them last year, and I reckon I was. Not, I don't think I was any change out of 400.
So you know what you're going to do? This is. I reckon it is one, Patrick. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to hit back here, and I'm going to go back to this one here. All right? See, this is what I have, okay?
Yes, okay.
A bowline outrigger, $50 at BCF. Yep. Does exactly the same thing. The angles don't change. I'm not changing my angle on the rigger arm. It stays
yeah,
the
once
same.
It's there.
And that's the two that I have on the boat. I'm not even joking. I don't know. It's not that exact one, but it looks exactly the same.
So what are you going to do? You're going to go to Google. You're going to type
try
in
and find
rigger
a
arm?
I don't think you need to pay $600 for two little arms out at the side of the boat, but you need them to catch fish.
I was about to say, but you need them in your boat.
I think you can find a cheaper one of a less quality. When I say less quality, it's still stainless. It's just not going to have them, I guess, the adjustables, but I don't see why you'd... I don't understand why you wouldn't adjust it, is what I'm trying to say, for me.
Well, I've never adjusted mine. I got them because I'm like, oh, adjusting, that's cool.
Yeah, they...
I don't actually use it.
I think I've got one adjusting at home because I've lost one, but it's in the shed. I don't even use it. I think I use these cheap. I'm pretty sure I got them one from Kmart, you know, when I was a kid, and it's the same one I've got, and I think I paid $30 for it. And then I bought one.
Inflation,
from,
mate. It's
I
gone
bought
up
one
a bit
from
since.
Andrew when I got the boat serviced. No, it was only $45, I think, for just a single one.
Yeah, okay.
So that's
but,
a lot.
But fixed.
Seems to catch and, me fish.
And they are essentially, these are a mini outrigger.
Yeah, they
how
are.
They're set
so
up.
I don't think you need to have outriggers out. You can use outriggers for school tuna if you want to. Put your lures in clear water, etc. You can more than welcome to, but I don't do it. I don't think you need to. And you can run these rigger arms. And what it does is it allows you to spread your lures out into a bit of cleaner water and also allows you to put a few more lures in because it gives you enough space so you're not having all the rods out of direct rod holders sitting straight up vertically at the same angles. So you can run them in shorter, you can run them in wider. It allows you to run 4 or 5. Use them on the barrels too, Pat. I use them all the time. So they're a terrific item to have if you are going to be chasing these school bluefin or barrel bluefin tuna anywhere. And you know what else they're good for? Just putting your rod in as an extra rod holder for snapper and whatnot.
100%.
I keep to keep stuff out of the way. We use it all the time.
So our picks for the rigger arms, bow line outriggers, BCF at the moment, they're $59.
I don't know what they're like, but it looks similar to my one, and I have not. I've had these for years.
Wellsie's tackle have got them at 127. If you want to go the upper end, then you've obviously got the adjustable Relax multi fishing rig arms that are 279. But it is one of those things you can have a bit of a hunt around with. Once again, the fixed rig arms, Wellsie's tackle have got them for $90. Yeah. So if you want,
Didn't pay 90 for mine. Definitely didn't. The other ones I've had for ages. The one I got from Andrew only probably this time last year, I reckon it was $45 or $50 max. So save yourself a dollar.
Rigger arms, the important addition to any boat if you are chasing tuna this summer. And that is our Reds review for Club Marine. Boating's just better with Club Marine boat insurance.
That was Reds review for Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine. You're listening to Real Adventures, talking all things fishing, boating, and the great outdoors. For Razorback 4x4, Australia's best four-wheel drive sea covers, with protection like no other. And Club Marine. Need insurance for your boat or jet ski? Discover why boating's just better with Club Marine.
Welcome back to Real Adventures for Club Marine. Boating's just better with Club Marine Boat Insurance. Redmond, it's time for your tip.
So during the week, now we've had discussions regarding selling your boat, right?
Yes.
We've had multiple discussions regarding selling your boat. Because let's be honest, the only reason you'd sell it is because you don't use it. And
well, you're
fact
getting
that
a
my 650 hardtop is now coming.
And it takes me an hour and 20 minutes to get to the Queenscliff boat ramp.
Yeah. And you've got your Staby that you fish out of home, and if you want to use a bigger boat, mine's there for you to use, of course, and obviously you come with me most of the time anyway. And if you want to go somewhere, by all means.
And Harry did mention to me, Harry, who is the new owner of North Bank, that they were looking at a 5-metre centre console. He's maybe, geez, I could be in trouble for saying this, maybe putting together, so I might try and twist his arm.
Centre console.
Centre Connie.
Well, I've got a tip for you.
Oh, boy.
You're going to get pretty good money for yours. I reckon you could get... I'm going to go over the 300 mark, I reckon.
What?
I reckon you'll get for yours, about 300.
No way.
280 to 310, I reckon.
Well, you know why. This second-hand boat market, the wait for things is ridiculous.
Well, okay. Well, no, I reckon you get 300.
What have you got?
Well, I've got a tip for you. Let's waste more of your money.
Oh, you set this to me during the week. I know what you're about to say.
My tip is we're getting rid of the North Bank. And I love your North Bank, but I've got one and we can use it together. And I've found you a 32 Lures 2005 model. Now, this thing is a big
This might have to be a new segment. Like the Real Adventures finds of the week, because this is a 30...
We can change Red's tip a little bit.
This is a 32-foot game fishing boat with a tuna tower.
So 370 horsepower, Cummins, 830 hours.
Good motor. And aircon, 800... Like, that's not many hours. Like, it's fine.
Aircon, all new floorings, hot water system, precious game poles, new clears with shade sail and storm covers, underwater lights, Garmin electronics. 230K.
Yeah, it was a good day. I'll give you that.
Oh, yeah.
What's the tip?
There's a North Bank 750 for sale right now. And you give a good deal. We're buying a lot lures for you because that can sit in the harbour. We can go down there and drink our wine with our cheese, I reckon, Patrick, down there. That's a beautiful boat, though, if someone's in the market for a game boat. So my tip was for you, but if for anyone else there.
Hey, my gaff this week. This is a good gaff. And this is, you know, it pains to say, but I'm going to have to gaff Mercury. And I love Mercury. I love my Merc. I've got a few of them now. I'm on the North Bank, got the new 30 horsepower, but I don't know how I didn't discover this, but the 75 horsepower Merc is actually the same motor, same size as the 90 and the 115.
Where's this going? What do you want?
Well, maybe
do?
It's not a gaff for Merc, maybe it's a gaff for Stabycraft, because I want a 115 on my Staby 1550. Because if it's exactly the same motor, and isn't it rated off weight? If it's of exactly the same
it's
weight.
It's rated off horsepower.
Yeah, but it's the same weight.
But the horsepower, because the transom might only be able to hold that certain amount of horsepower. I don't know. I just made that up, but it sounds right.
I want.
You can get
a 115 Mercury on my Staby 1550.
Patrick gets.
It's exactly the same motor.
Are you making a phone call?
I'm gaffing Mercury, gaffing Stabycraft. And if you want an ungaff, you're going to make it happen. Has anyone out? I'd love to know.
Well, no. On glass boats, the thing, you can do this stuff because when they, naval architects, right, they, yes. what they do is they come in, they build, they obviously set everything up, the boat, safety, blah, blah, blah. Now, what happens is they can
safety,
adjust.
Safety, blah, blah, blah. That's how you treat safety. Blah, blah, blah.
You can adjust these transoms and they can put more fiberglass in and they can get them rated to more horsepower.
I think you can do this with plate.
You can put it probably 500 horsepower. Can you do it with plate? That was my next question. But Staby's nearly a production-built boat. It's not a fiberglass boat where you can, I guess, where some
they
fiberglass
could boost it.
Production. Can
could,
they?
Well, you could boost the...
Well, put more stainless into it.
No, think about the... It's, mate, it's aluminium. For starters.
Oh, sorry, you put more aluminium. Oh, stainless. stainless rod holders to hold it on.
could,
sorry, aluminium,
you,
I meant to
you
say.
You could up the mill that the transom's constructed in, surely.
Can you? I don't know.
We want 115 horse. Anyone from Staby or anyone out there that's had their boat re-rated, we'd actually love to know because I want to do it.
Well, I need to apologise too while we're here is because I was meant to have the hook, line, and sinker boys on, but they were busy this morning. So we're going to get them on either next week. They said they're definitely coming on, so there's an apology there.
The member.
There's an apology
the
there.
The member was busy.
He was busy. So I'll probably catch some fish knowing them, but they were busy. So I do apologise as a guest. We had Andrew today, but they're coming in the next week or two. And Pat's got a few phone calls to make because he wants his engine. So,
yes, 115.
Real Adventures. We'll be back next week.
Thanks for your company. We hope you enjoyed the show. All for Razorback 4x4. Australia's best four-wheel drive seat covers with protection like no other. This has been Real Adventures.